Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Phil Webster is an author, actor, spiritual seeker. And after living abroad and traveling the world for 20 years, he returned to his native England back in 2017 and embarked on an acting career. At the tail end of the COVID-19 pandemic, an unexplained event coupled with a devastating loss sent him down a completely different path forever. His debut book, Letting Glow, documents his journey into the mystical and helps us connect with our highest states of intuition, realigning the connection between our thoughts, consciousness, and authentic selves, and ultimately searches for proof that we survive physical death. His website is philwebster.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Phil, welcome back.
Hey, George, thank you for having me back. Nice to speak to you again.
How have you been?
Yeah, good, thank you. I'm in a very dreary and grey London at the moment, but yeah, that's to be expected.
That's typical London, isn't it?
That's it.
Tell us about this journey that you went down the spiritual path. What happened to you?
Yeah, sure. We briefly touched on it before, but for anyone that didn't catch that episode, I'd had little moments through the years. It would seem every 5 years or so, I'd have some weird event. Something would be almost tapping me on the shoulder, and I'd kind of just take note of these things and think, well, you know, that was weird, and then just move on. Some were more profound than others, but really the catalyst to send me down this path and where the books came from was something that happened around the time my mum passed away, and that was at the end of the COVID-19 pandemic, and we would FaceTime every day. I hadn't seen her for a few months, and just to sort of cut straight to it, I called her one night, as we did most days, on FaceTime, and I saw a man standing beside her, and I saw him long enough that I could describe him, and he looked like he was probably in his late 60s, had thin and gray hair, glasses, and kind of shocked me, because it was quite late at night. She lived in a very rural place, and we were in another lockdown, and I said, well, who's that? And she said, who's what? And I was, okay, Mom, I just saw someone, and she just kind of just dismissed the whole thing. And we spoke for another hour or so, and I believe that there was no one physically with her. And I just kind of just put it down to, I don't know what, a glitch on the phone or something. And then the next morning, I got the phone call that my mum had passed away. So through all of the grief and everything that comes with that, my mind kept going back to this guy. I was like, you know, well, what are we talking here? If I rule out that there was no one physically there, then are we talking spirit guys, ghosts, or what?
Right.
So that really opened the door to this whole path that I've gone down.
Did you think for a moment, Phil, that somebody had broken into the house and maybe you'd done her some harm?
Yeah, I mean, my initial reaction was, so again, it was quite late at night and she lived on a place called the Isle of Wight. So I kind of knew it's like lots of countryside and beaches and stuff like that. So I knew all of her immediate neighbors. We didn't have any other family there. I'm in London a few hours away. And she would have, kind of like house help, like nurses that would come and check on her daily and make sure she took her meds and stuff like that. But they would never show up after six. So yeah, I initially thought it was one of those. But when she just kind of just started talking about what she talked about them being in the house earlier, and I asked her a couple of times and just her whole demeanor, I could always tell when someone was with her because she would put on all these airs and graces, you know. She wasn't doing that. But yeah, my mind didn't go to an intruder. It just kind of dismissed the whole thing. It just didn't make sense. And we spoke for like nearly an hour and she just didn't show any signs of anyone being there. So I just kind of just went to bed and just sort of brushed it off. And then, like I said, when I got the news the next morning, then it kind of took on a different aspect. I wasn't really sure what to do with it because I didn't immediately go to the spiritual. My head wasn't really in that space at the time, but I kind of started looking into these things, and the more I did, the more that made sense. And then I started looking back on other things that had happened throughout my life and looking at them through a different lens. They started to make more sense as well.
Did you ever figure out who that individual might have been?
I actually didn't. I thought I'd come to a conclusion that perhaps he was like my dad or something. I hadn't seen him for 20 years. But I was just kind of going around in circles. That was a thing. It almost offered me some comfort, but it didn't because I didn't recognize the person. You know, he didn't look like Uncle Carl or something like that, you know. So I just had different ideas from people that I've spoke to in these last couple of years. People are talking about my mum's spirit guides, or perhaps it was somebody that she knew that I didn't know, you know, that was around before my time. But I mean, at the end of the day, I just had to sort of take some comfort from it that something was going on. Somebody was with her. But it's interesting. Again, a few years before this, I had a bit more of a cynical outlook on life and I probably wouldn't have bought into any of this stuff. But with all the things that have happened since and that I've learned and wrote about, I'm like pretty much convinced that we go on. Yeah.
Did that episode with your mother's passing lead you to write the first book, Letting Glow?
Yeah, that was it. That was essentially, I just documented my journey. So I sort of poured my grief into it. And then I started learning specifically about mediumship. And I just kind of documented the journey. And all these amazing things started to happen. People, like mediums giving me evidence and all that. And then I started learning to be a medium myself. And then giving other people evidence that I know that I didn't know about. It's just such an amazing experience to have people confirm that these things that are coming in seem to be real.
In the latest book, of course, Phil, is called Glowing Deeper, book two of the Letting Glow trilogy. So sounds like there's going to be another book.
Yeah, I just, when I finished the first book, I'd learned so much about all these amazing things. And it was kind of a mixed bag because, again, I was pouring my grief into the first book over the first year. But by the time I'd finished it, I felt like I had a whole other book in me. I just learned about all these amazing sort of spiritual practices from around the world. I started studying female spirituality at the University of Barcelona, which is a pretty specific subject, but I was just intrigued by all these things I was finding out about. So the second book is kind of less about my journey and more about the sort of spiritual practices as a whole and esoteric things.
What have you learned over the last few years?
So much. Again, I'm forever the eternal skeptic. So at my core, I've experienced so many things now that I am convinced that we continue in some form of consciousness. But I'll always question it. And it kind of annoys me at the same time because I need to stand by this. I just wrote two books about it. But I can't help but just sort of look at it always from both angles. But I've learned.
You still there?
Yeah, just the actual.
Oh, you're cutting out a little bit. Let's switch over to your cell phone, all right?
Do you want to enforce my beliefs onto anybody else? I totally get it, that why people are skeptical about these things. But yeah, just there's so much that I've learned these last few years that it's, yeah, I'm just amazed by it, continuously amazed by it.
Let's talk a little bit about the work that you've done. What have you learned about the other side, Phil?
Well, there's so many aspects to it. I've learned with utmost respect and reverence, I've learned from some of the best mediums around, such as Gordon Smith in the UK, James Van Praagh, your side, Claire Broad, that pretty very quickly, just the evidence that these people were giving me. And it wasn't like I was running from one medium to the next. I was just intrigued about this whole thing and just really opened myself up to the idea that it's a real thing. And very quickly, it just seemed to establish itself for me as, okay, this is all legit. I went on to study with some indigenous shamans, and I was really amazed and wrote about in the second book, about the similarities between a lot of ancient cultures, not just your side of the pond, over here in the British Isles and through Europe as well, that we were all talking about the same thing. There's so many commonalities between sort of older or sort of more traditional elements of spirituality that are really essentially the same thing we're doing as modern mediumship as well. It really sort of transcends time and back in the day, oceans, we were all coming up with the same words for these things. One thing that I really dove into in the second book, again, was kind of more sort of mythology around the British Isles and Europe and the States. And we even had some of the same words. Like when we start talking about nature spirits and things like that, there were so many commonalities, even though we weren't connected at the time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a section in your book that goes into the metaphysics of time and living in the now. Tell us about that.
All right. How long have you got?
2 hours.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's good. Yeah, I had a very profound experience in my mid-30s, and this is quite a, somewhat of a long-winded story, but back then I'd lived abroad from the UK for around 20 years, and I was running bars and clubs at the time, and I've kind of, as I mentioned, developed a little bit of a cynical attitude towards life. I guess things weren't going the way that I wanted them to go,
sure.
Things like that.
That happens.
And I remember waking up one morning, and this is a bit of an abstract concept, but I'm not the first person to talk about it, but I remember just kind of having this observation that time was non-linear. You know, we've only really got the moment of now. And kind of, you know, everything else is just like a memory of the past or a projection of what we expect of the future. But really, it's just now all the time. And on this particular morning, as I was thinking about that, something shifted. And I can't emphasize kind of how powerful it was, that it terrified me. It kind of sent me into a full-blown panic attack. And it was as though people talk about living in the moment of now. It was like that times a thousand. All of a sudden, it was, as, you know, linear time fell away, and it was just now. And I couldn't switch it off. It was just now, 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 all the time. And I thought I was going nuts, essentially. I tried to go to work that night, and I was sort of trying to explain to my colleagues what was going on with me, and they were just looking at me like, sure, okay.
They thought you were nuts, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought I was really... It didn't stop, and I can't explain it. It was as though it was an ultimate awareness of where I was right then and there all the time. I couldn't just drift off and sort of get lost in my thoughts or think what I'm going to have for dinner that night or what movie I watched last night. It was just now, all the time. It was just like this ultimate awareness, as though I were, I don't know, like my brain was made of crystal or something. It was just really like a hyper-reality. And after a few weeks of this, I thought, okay, I can't, it was too much. And I went to a doctor and tried to explain the best I could, because it's such a weird thing to try and explain. And they started using words like psychosis, which terrified me. And they gave me some anti-anxiety meds, they gave me sleeping pills, stuff like that. And the sleeping pills would knock me out, I'd wake up the next day, and this whole thing would just start up again, just this kind of ultimate awareness of now. It was just overwhelming. I did, a couple of weeks later, I went to another doctor, and I started, not to take this down the dark path, but I started really getting to the end of my rope. This thing really just wouldn't let up. And I thought, well, if this is the way my brain's working now, then I'm not sure this works for me, you know, anymore. Months later, and this was just 24/7, whatever this thing was that was going on, I found a therapist. And why I went to this guy was that he was a hypnotist. So I thought, all right, I'm just zap this thing away from me, you know? And he was kind of like, well, no, it's not how it works. But anyway, he gave me a very basic grounding meditation. And he started using words like mystic and shamanic sickness and things like this. I had no idea or interest of what he was talking about. And this meditation brought me back pretty much instantly. And I was just thankful for that. And I'd practice this thing every day. And very, very gradually, I kind of came back online, you know, to join the rest of the herd. And I just was like, okay, well, I don't know what that, I was just thankful to put it behind me and to have my mental health, in check, you know, and I have to say, kind of really bashed my ego to the floor. And I came back a lot humbler and kind of a lot more appreciative of everyone in my life. And I sort of dropped some dead weight, changed jobs, stuff like that. So, you know, not to dismiss mental illness by any means, but essentially what this guy told me that I was going through was a spiritual awakening, and that it was fairly common. And again, at the time, I was like, okay, great, whatever, and just put it behind me. But once my mom had passed and all these other experiences started to come to light, I kind of looked back on that with a very different perspective, you know, almost as though, again, something would happen every few years. Not as profound as that. But every 5 years or so, it would be as though something were like setting me up for whatever this is. I know it sounds quite grandiose, but I just feel that now I'm finally on the right path to what I've always should have been doing.
Phil, why do you think it took your mother's passing to get you into this mode?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose for any of us, and just to bring it back to a more practical level after all that I just said, you know, when we lose a parent, I think we really lose the one true witness to our lives. So like any of us. I mean, obviously people have different relationships with their parents. And, I had a very good one with my mum. Of course, you know, she would drive me nuts from time to time, but for the most part, we were good
friends. Yeah, moms do that, right?
Yeah. So I think it's such a profound, life-changing experience. Like, you've really had that one person that was always there, and then it's very much like stepping into an alternate reality where it's like, okay, this is me now. I mean, personally, I don't have any siblings or very much family, so it was really a shift in everyday reality. And then just that wanting to know that the person's okay, and of course, from my side, just missing her and really looking for that connection. So that was really the instigator to just kind of look at everything from a different angle. And when I did, all these weird things that had happened in the past made sense. And it's also odd because, you know, I'll talk about these things, and I'll talk about one experience after another. These things were very few and far between. In the middle of this, I was just concerned with paying the bills and going to work and all the rest of it. You know, I wasn't walking around like Yoda or anything, but yeah, now it's kind of, this whole thing is, since writing the books, this has really much been my focus.
Are strange things still happening to you?
Well, I just feel that since opening up to, again, mediumship in particular, that it seems to be becoming more common, and it's not so much of a weird thing. I think that when we have these experiences, for any of your listeners that may have had a supernatural experience or something like that, they tend to come in a different way. I mean, of course, there are physical things, like people talk about seeing ghosts or feeling a cool breeze or something like that. But a lot of the time, I think these things come in as a knowing. And when you experience that, it's kind of undeniable. But when you try to look back on it, it tends to not sit in the memory as the same way that everything else does. You know, it's a very internal, subjective experience that we don't really have anything else to relate it to, because they're very often out of the blue and not what we're used to. But I feel that, yeah, when you kind of go down this path and start looking for these things and open up to it, then they do seem to come in more regularly. Of course, the flip side of that is that a skeptic might say, well, when you're looking for those things, then you're going to see them. But it does seem to work like that.
What is the biggest message you want people to take away when they read Glowing Deeper?
I believe that it touches on a lot of subjects, obviously life after death, but I think that one important aspect that runs throughout both books is that we don't have to get caught up in the daily dramas and our thoughts, that we are something that observes as our thoughts. There are a lot of meditations in the books, and they really teach us to just be able to connect with that inner knowing. And then when you sort of can tune into that, it tends to, the more trivial things seem to fall away. You know, when you can recognize that you're the one observing your thoughts, then you don't necessarily have to get offended by something someone says or all of those kind of things. And it's really a very liberating experience. So, yeah, hopefully I feel that that's really one of the core messages, along with that I believe that we do survive physical death.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeart Radio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeart Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.